بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of عمدة الأحكام, the reference on ruling, and we have reached the chapter باب الغسل من الجنابة, chapter غسل from جنابة. غسل from جنابة, جنابة is the state of major impurity, ritual impurity due to sexual defilement, as we'll explain. We know that the tahara from the ritual impurity is a condition from the conditions of salah. Salah is invalid without the purification. And the ritual impurities are of two types, minor or lesser, which necessitates wudu, and the second, major or greater, which necessitates ghusl. Now, the ghusl, bathing, or bathing, is of two types, obligatory and recommended. Obligatory and recommended. That which is obligatory is divided itself into two types. The obligatory itself is divided into two types. One, obligation by agreement, meaning scholars are on agreement that regarding it being an obligation. And this includes al-janaba, ghusl from janaba, ghusl following sexual defilement. Second, ghusl from hayd, following menses, purification from menses. Third, ghusl following nifas, postnatal bleeding. And fourth, تغسيل الميت, غسل of the deceased body, washing the deceased body. These are agreed upon obligations, agreed upon غسل as an obligation act. The second, under the obligatory, are the ghusls where there is ikhtilaf regarding their obligation. Ghusl where there is ikhtilaf, difference of opinion regarding their obligation. And they include ghuslul jumu'ah, the ghusl of Friday. Second, اغتسال الكافر إذا أسلم, the ghusl of the kafir upon accepting Islam. These are two where there is اختلاف regarding the obligation concerning them. As to the recommended and praiseworthy ghusl, this includes the ghusl for the two Eids, the ghusl for the two Eids, and the ghusl for entering the state of ihram in Hajj or Umrah. And some scholars had counted the recommended to reach almost 16 kinds, including, for example, ghusl for the day of Arafah and the like. As to the topic of today, the ghusl from sexual defilement, from janaba. Janaba in origin means being far away or away. The term janaba means being away or far away. In this case, it refers to semen ejaculation. It is called janaba because the semen moves away from its place, moves away from its place upon ejaculating. And that's why it is called janaba. A person is called junub. A person is called junub as being in a state of janaba. He is called junub because the water, meaning the semen, moved away from its place, and also because he is being kept away from performing salah. Now, who is considered junub? The junub is the one who is necessitated for him to make ghusl due to inzal, semen ejaculation, or intercourse, or due to intercourse, even though he may not ejaculate. Even though the person may not ejaculate. This is the one who is in a state of sexual defilement or janaba. Now to the hadith. The first hadith under this chapter. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لقيه في بعض طرق المدينة وهو جنب قال فانخنست منه فذهبت فاغتسلت ثم جئت فقال أين كنت يا أبا هريرة؟ قال كنت جنبا فكرهت أن أجالسك وأنا على غير طهارة. فقال أي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحان الله إن المسلم لا ينجس. أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه narrated أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came across me in one of the streets of Medina, and at that time I was junub. So I slipped away from him and went to take a ghusl. On my return, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, where have you been, O Abu Huraira? Where have you been? I replied, I was junub. So I disliked to sit in your company. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Subhanallah. A believer never becomes impure. This is the narration. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu we gave a biography of him in hadith number 2. The subject matter of this hadith is بيان حكم الجنب ومجالسته, the ruling concerning the junub and sitting with the junub. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was highly esteemed by his companions, and a vivid example is this hadith. What occurred to Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam met him in some of the streets of Medina, and so he took by his hand and walked with him until the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam sat, and Abu Huraira was in a state of janaba, he was junub, and so he disliked to sit with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam not being in a state of ritual purity. So he slipped away quietly and went and took a bath. Then he returned to the Prophet ﷺ's council, and so he asked him, where did he go? So he told him of his condition and that he went to take the ghusl from janaba so that he becomes pure when he sits with the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ said in an amazing way, or yani, astonished from the situation of Abu Huraira when Abu Huraira took that the Muslim in a state of janaba, the state of janaba takes away the purity of the Muslim or the believer. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the Muslim, since he is submitting to the deen of Allah and his sharia, is not impure because his heart is pure and so his creed. The benefits of this hadith, number one, permissibility of the person to talk about himself in matters where it is kind of shy to talk about, but since there is a benefit involved, then in this case it is permissible. When there is a benefit to talk about oneself in that which may be any something the person would be shy about to talk about, but it is permissible again if this is done for a maslaha, for a benefit, and if there is also a need, as came earlier with us in the discussion of hadith Ali with Al-Miqdad, when Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent Al-Miqdad to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to gain fatwa from the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam concerning him and Fatima. The second benefit is the care of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam regarding his companions and checking on their affairs out of care. The third benefit is the magnification of the companions with regard to the Prophet ﷺ, their magnification of him, the companions magnifying the Prophet ﷺ, and this is evident in the action of Abu Huraira when he did not want to sit with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام while being in a state of janaba. The fourth benefit is saying subhanallah if someone is amazed or astonished about something. The fifth benefit, the junub does not become impure because the mu'min is tahir. From this, it is understood, this implies that the kafir is impure. This implies that the kafir is impure, meaning physically. However, the impurity of the kafir, najasatul kafir, is not due to something physical, but rather it is intangible, meaning due to the impurity of shirk. So what is intended is his impurity of shirk and his wicked creed. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسْ. Verily the mushriks are najas, impure. This refers to the intangible. النجاسة المعنوية, intangible impurity, because of his wicked creed. But the believer is not. The next benefit, permissibility to delay the ghusl from janaba if the salah is not immediate. But if a person now intends to perform the salah, then he should hasten to take the ghusl. The next benefit, it is praiseworthy that when the person sits with the people of knowledge, is to be on the best condition. These are some of the benefits deduced from this hadith. We mentioned over and over again that the meaning of Subhanallah is declaring Allah the Most High free of all imperfection and defects. So it is a glorification statement. As to benefit number three, once that to be repeated, is the magnification by the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ and respect. This is the benefit. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.